Good morning and welcome to the Health Matters Radio Show. It's Monday, it's the 10th of June 2019. I hope you are all keeping very well and that you all had a great weekend. On today's show, we are going to be talking about safety in the sun, which is a bit ironic given the weather in Kent at the moment. But it's important with summer on its way, we hope, that you do take some care when out in the sun, because there are some issues that can arise if you don't. I will also be talking more about alcohol. On the last show, we spoke about the dangers of alcohol. And on today's show, we're going to talk about ways to help you to perhaps moderate your consumption so those dangers don't become an issue. We've also got music from Avril Lavigne and Peter Gabriel. And in the middle, we have our special guest interview with Nicole Pitt-Williams from Coastal Nordic Walking. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning.
And how are you this morning?
I'm very good, thank you.
It's great to have you on the show. And we'll be finding out more about what Nicole does and more about Nordic walking in about 20 minutes or so. So a quick disclaimer before we kick the show off. The purpose of the Health Matters Radio Show is to provide you with competent information on the subject matters covered and to help educate and inform you in ways that you might be able to improve your own health. However, this is on the understanding that I'm not engaged in providing medical advice and the content of the show should not be treated as a substitute for such. If you have any concerns about your general health or you require medical or other expert assistance, please speak to a suitably qualified healthcare professional, which in many cases can be obtained by dialing 111 first or speaking with your local pharmacist. All the content is provided for general information only, and I encourage you to do your own research. And the show is based on my knowledge, my research, my experience, and often my opinion. And I disclaim any liability that is incurred from the use of or application of the content of the show. A quick reminder of the show's social media feeds on Twitter. If you go to @HealthRadioShow, you can follow the show's Twitter feed and you can tweet me. On Facebook, if you search the Health Matters Radio Show, you'll be able to find the show's Facebook page. You'll be able to listen again to this show and all previous 62 shows on the media page of my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. And also the show has an iTunes podcast, so you can subscribe to the podcast. Just go to iTunes, search the Health Matters Radio Show, click on subscribe. And every time we do a new show each week, I'll upload it and you'll be able to be the first to listen to it on catch up. Okay, so safety in the sun. Like I said, the weather today outside is pretty grim. In fact, I think in Kent we have a yellow weather warning for rain. So it's quite ironic that I'm talking about sun. But I have just come back from Corfu. So there is a link here. Okay, so last week when I was in Corfu, there were people that were clearly taking care of their skin. And there were people that perhaps weren't taking as good care as maybe they could do, because there were lots of people out there that were suffering with really bad sunburn, and I mean severe red sunburn. And apart from the short-term pain, there are lots of issues with not looking after your skin, and we're going to cover some of those. But let's start with the basics. When we tan, we have a dark pigment in our skin, and that's called melanin. And melanin is the skin pigment. And when we expose our skin to sunlight, our body produces more of this pigment, which is an attempt to absorb UV radiation. And as a byproduct of absorbing and protecting the skin from UV radiation, the skin becomes darker. So actually, when we come home from holiday with a really healthy tan and we think, oh, we look great, actually, when you've got a tan, it's an indication that your skin has become damaged and it's tried to protect itself. So we take it as a sign of looking healthy and radiant, and actually it's a sign of damage. So why should we be careful? Well, we don't want to spend our entire summer indoors. And in fact, some sunshine is good for us, providing it's below sunburn level, because it helps the body to create vitamin D. And it also gives us that feeling of good health and good well-being. But when we overdo this exposure to the sun and we damage our skin to the degree that we get sunburn, then we leave ourselves open to some serious risks. And one of these is skin cancer. So in addition to just getting sunburn and having the pain and the peeling, and maybe having rashes or getting prickly heat, long-term exposure to the sun and long-term continuous sunburn can lead on to the risks of getting skin cancer. And actually in the UK, there's around 100,000 new cases of skin cancer that are diagnosed annually. And it's estimated that most of these, not all of them, but most of these are linked to extensive sun exposure, and particularly not taking care of our skin when we are in the sun. And it's estimated that of those 100,000, around 4 in 5 are completely preventable. So here's some tips that you might want to consider when you are going out in the sun, if you're off on holiday in the next, you know, few weeks or few months. And indeed, if we ever get summer in the UK, then there'll be some good tips here that you might want to take on board. Because even though you may not be going out of the UK, you still do need to take care of your skin when you're around and about in the sun in this country. So when we look at SPF, so sun protection factor, okay, the recommended amount or the recommended grade that we should be looking at is an SPF of 30 or more. Now, children and people that are prone to sunburn or who have sensitive skin should go for a higher SPF. But as a minimum, 30 is what you should be looking for. And what you should be looking for is a broad spectrum water resistant sunscreen. And we'll come on to broad spectrum in a moment. So when you apply your sunscreen, apply it to clean, dry skin and do it at least 20 minutes before you go into the sun. And then you should reapply every 2 hours. So this SPF, what does SPF mean? Well, the number relates to the protection against UVB, not the protection against UVA. So you've got UVA and UVB. Those are the two main types of radiation we get from the sun. The number relates to UVB. And this scale is from 2 to 50 plus, based on the level of protection that they offer. So between 2 and 14 is the least protected, and 50 plus is obviously the strongest form of UVB protection. And as I mentioned, aiming for a sort of 30 plus and more if you've got children, for children is recommended. Some things to consider, check the expiry date. Most sunscreens will have expiry dates, so make sure it's not past its expiry date, but it hasn't been stored in direct sunlight or hot temperatures, because sunscreen does deteriorate over time and it might not be as effective if you've had it sitting around in your suitcase for a couple of years since your last holiday. You also notice that in addition to the number, you have a star system. Now, the star system relates to UVA. So the number relates to UVB and the star system relates to UVA. And the stars range from 0 to 5. And these indicate the percentage of UVA radiation protection against, obviously, the damage from the sun. But it relates to the ratio between the level of protection of UVA and UVB. Okay, so this is where it gets a little bit complicated. So if you choose a low SPF, so say you choose a 10, it might have a high level of stars. It might be a 5-star. It doesn't mean it protects you extensively against UVA, but it means that the ratio between UVA and UVB is the same. So if you go for a 30, it gives you protection against UVB. If it's got 5 stars, then it gives you a high protection against UVA. If you go for a 10, which is a low protection against UVB, and it's got 5 stars, it means you get a similar amount of protection against UVA. Okay, I hope that makes sense. You might want to play back that bit a little bit and listen to that again. So the stars relate to the ratio of protection from UVA to UVB. So it's important to choose a high SPF with ideally a high number of stars. So if you choose a 50, for example, and it's only got 3 stars, it means you've got a really high level of UVB protection, but not a very good level of UVA protection. And you need protection against both. So when you've got a good protection of UVA and UVB, that's what's known as a broad spectrum. Okay, so try and go for at least 30 and a UVA rating of at least 4 or 5 stars. So how much sunscreen do you need to put on? Well, the average size adult should put about 1 teaspoon of the product on each arm and leg, on their back and on their torso, and around 1/2 teaspoon should be applied to the face and neck, including the ears and the back of the neck. Children, obviously depending on their size, but they'll need a bit less than that, but you should still reapply the sunscreen every 2 hours. And it obviously makes sense as well. Don't just depend on sunscreen. You know, if you're out in the Mediterranean or somewhere really hot, and you are exposed to a lot of sun, and we're not used to a lot of sun in this country, then try and cover up as well. People like to walk around in their bikinis or their boxer shorts, not their box shorts, their swimming shorts. But it's important that you stay covered up as well. And if you're prone to getting a sunburn on the head or face, then wearing a hat can protect particularly the top of the head and the back of the neck as well. Get shade when you're feeling like you're getting a bit too much sun or it's getting a bit too much for you, and wear good quality sunglasses. If you're going swimming a lot, you know, we do get these waterproof sunscreens now, and we think that we can put them on once and it will last us all day. But actually, water does wash off even water resistant. It's water resistant, not waterproof. So even if you've got water-resistant sunscreen, you should still reapply it every 2 hours, particularly after going in the water. And the thing is, in the water as well, because the water has this cooling effect, we can actually get burnt in the water and not realise it. And also, water does reflect UV rays as well, which can actually increase our exposure. And obviously, once you come out of the water, unless you drip dry, you'll generally dry yourself off with a towel. And you'll be perspiring as well, and that will wipe off some of the sunscreen. So it's important to reapply every couple of hours. So coming on to sunburn itself, sunburn is potentially quite dangerous. As I mentioned, it can increase the risk of skin cancer, which is one of the most common cancer types that we have these days. And this damage is caused by exposure to the sun's rays, this UV radiation. Okay, so regardless of your race or skin colour, we are all at risk of sunburn, some people more than others. And actually, in the UK, without protection for the average person, you can start getting sunburn in as little as 15 minutes on a hot summer's day. So if you do feel like you've got sunburn, it's important that you recognise some of the signs. So if you get blistering, it's a very physical sign. But if you start getting headaches or nausea or vomiting or dizziness, then you should consult your doctor. And don't just think that it's on hot summer days that you are going to get sunburnt, because actually UV radiation can penetrate clouds, and it can be high even on a cool or overcast day. So don't just think because it's 30 degrees and blue skies, you've got to whack on the sunscreen. Even in moderate temperatures and cloudy days, you can leave yourself exposed to UV radiation if you're not careful. And it's also possible to get sunburn in the snow. We mentioned about swimming because the water reflects the light, the UV radiation, but also snow reflects it as well. So you can get exposure to sunburn even in cold weather. And we mentioned already about children. You know, the risk for children is particularly high. So if you've got young children, then make sure they're covered up. Make sure that they have a sunscreen of at least 50. And make sure that you do put it on a regular basis, because if you do that, you actually help to reduce that child's risk of developing skin cancer in later life. And obviously as well, it teaches them good sunbathing habits from an early age. So hopefully as they get older, then they'll carry on taking care of their skin, because young skin is actually very delicate and easily damaged by the sun. And if you use a formula that's specifically designed for children, then that will have extra protection that children's skin needs. And for those of you that have got moles or freckles, well, if you've got moles or freckles, then you are at higher risk of developing skin cancer. So you need to take extra care. So all those things that we've spoken about, using a high SPF factor, reapplying it on a regular basis is really important. Using protective clothing, a hat, sunglasses, facilitating shade if you're outdoors. Those are the things that you need to take extra care of, because you do have a slightly higher risk of developing skin cancer. And if you notice any changes to your skin, then obviously report these to your doctor. So fingers crossed for a summer. As I say, looking out the window at the minute, you wouldn't think that we are in June already, but summer hopefully will be on its way. If you are off to a hotter climate during the summer period, then please make sure that you look after your skin and it will look after you. So after the break, we are going to go on to our special guest interview with Nicole. But before that, we have a song from 2002, and it's Avril Lavigne and Complicated. Avril Lavigne and Complicated. You're listening to the Health Matters radio show with me, Neil De Silva. A quick reminder of the show's social media feeds. On Twitter, it's at Health Radio Show. On Facebook, if you search the Health Matters radio show, you'll be able to follow the show's Facebook page. You'll be able to listen again to this program and all the previous shows that I've done are on the show's iTunes podcast. So go to iTunes, search the Health Matters radio show, click on subscribe, and you'll get updates when I upload new shows. And also on the media page of my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. And if you'd like to contact me, away from social media, then please go to my website, click on the contact button, drop me an email, and I will contact you from there. Okay, so on to our guest interview of the morning. Today we have Nicole Pitt-Williams from Coastal Nordic Walking. There you go, got it right. And we're going to find out more about what that is and how it can benefit you. So good morning, Nicole. It's great to have you on the show this morning.
Good morning. It's lovely to be here.
And can you, before we kick off and before we get more into actually what Nordic walking is, perhaps you can give us a bit of background as to what your journey has been up to this point and what's kind of led you to where you are now.
Well, originally I worked in the beauty and fashion industry and then moved to Sandgate in 2003. Mm-hmm. While having first moved here, I started a business degree. I kind of did my degree the wrong way around. I'd worked in the business industry, getting to positions through promotion, and then did my degree. And I was fortunate enough to do it at the university hub of Greenwich University here in Folkestone.
Okay.
While I was doing my degree, I needed to lose 30 pounds. So I went to Sure Slim, mm-hmm. and which was a private one-to-one clinic. Loved it so much, bought a clinic. Always been interested in working with women through mm-hmm. fashion and the beauty industry, and then looking at women's health. So helping people lose between 7 pounds and 7 stone. Mm-hmm. And the lady who lost 5 stone bought my clinic from me when I was ready to move on.
Wow.
Which I did because I was I started a CIC, a community interest company, mm-hmm. Here in Folkestone. Working with disadvantaged women within the community, mostly victims of domestic abuse. And I have to say that is the role that I, if someone said to me, the best role of your life that you felt you've done the best, that
really?
Was it.
Wow.
And I absolutely enjoyed every moment working with these women. Unfortunately, after the Brexit referendum, the funding that I used to receive was from the European Social Fund.
Right.
That came to an end.
So even though we hadn't actually, or we still haven't, left the EU as such, they stopped the funding as soon as the referendum result came through.
Well, I don't know if it was a coincidence or whether it would have ended anyway, but
right.
I've been fortunate enough to receive it for several years, and then
yeah.
as a coincidence, the company that were able to give these grants no longer had the funding there to give. So
oh,
which
what
was
a
great shame.
And as you said, if you could go back to that moment where you felt you was making the most amount of difference.
Yes,
that was the moment.
All my years, I'm 61 now, so all my working years, that was my greatest achievement, working with these women.
Wow. So that gap between obviously when that funding ran out and to what you're doing now, what's happened since? How did you get into doing Nordic walking?
Well, I got into Nordic walking after being diagnosed with a degenerative lung condition.
Okay.
I'd had a cough. I got swine flu. I think many of you remember years ago,
wow.
I think around 2008,
yeah.
swine flu.
Yeah.
And I had this little cough and it just got worse and worse. And unfortunately, I'd also had pneumonia and pleurisy as a child. So due to the scarring on my lungs, I developed this condition. And I was told that this was a degenerative condition.
Mm.
There is no cure. All you can do is maintain it. So I rang the British Lung Foundation and they said the only way I can maintain it is by exercise and looking at my diet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I knew how to work on my diet, but like most people, you know what to do, but do you always take your own advice?
Yeah.
At the same time, we'd bought a house in the French Alps. So I was hoping that that would actually help improve the cough, but it didn't. So it came to I need to do some form of exercise. And I have to say, I was one of these people, I hated exercise. It doesn't come naturally to me. I had a best friend who exercises every day, runs, cycles, the lot.
Yeah.
It's not me.
Yeah.
Each year, I'd join the gym. I'd pay my fee. I'd go for about 6 weeks at the most. probably a couple of weeks in the gym, then it would go to being in the jacuzzi and a swim, and then I just wouldn't go. But each year I paid that fee, because in the early years you joined the gym and you had to pay for a whole year whether you went or not.
And there's so many people, I'm sure, listening that can relate to that, where their New Year's resolution is to get fitter and healthier and perhaps lose some weight, and they join the gym and they get their membership with all the best of intentions, and then by February, if you actually look at a lot of gyms, they're a lot less full than they are at the start of January.
They are indeed. So that was me, a typical, not exactly a couch potato, but not far off.
Yep.
So I had to do some form of exercise. So I was watching TV on Saturday morning, and you had Mike Bushell of BBC Breakfast interviewing someone about Nordic walking.
Mm-hmm.
And as they were saying, all you needed is a pair of Nordic walking poles and a good pair of walking shoes. So I said to my husband, look, I can do this. I can do it here in France, and I can do it in the UK. Because although I was trying to do yoga, I didn't have any continuity from being in the two different countries. Because at that time, we were doing a lot of renovation. So the more I looked into Nordic walking, I did my free taster session. And I thought, wow, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to be an instructor. For me, the great thing about being an instructor, even when it's a really bad day, I have to turn up. So,
like today.
Yeah, like today. And tomorrow. And on Saturday, we've had walks in the rain.
Yeah.
We always say there's no such thing as bad weather for Nordic walking, only bad clothing. So your good waterproof shoes and a waterproof jacket, and away we go.
Very true.
And it doesn't matter how sad we feel when we start off, we always feel great at the end of it.
I bet. Fantastic. So your journey was a purely personal one.
It was
you
for selfish
need,
reasons.
You need to get yourself fitter.
Indeed.
And I think there is a lesson there to be learned for everyone is, you know, I think most people, if they look at themselves, they could be fitter than they are. But the key is when you pick an exercise, pick one that you actually enjoy doing. Because if you don't enjoy going down the gym, if you don't enjoy swimming, and you use or you choose to go down that route, you're probably not going to... You might be one of those lucky ones that starts going to the gym and starts to love it because you go to the gym. Very few people that pick an exercise that they don't enjoy doing stick with it. And I think you found in yourself, you found an exercise that you actually connected with and that you enjoyed doing. And I think if you find that passion and that love in any exercise, you'll commit to it because it becomes a part of your life, doesn't it?
That's right. And the great thing about Nordic walking is that it's social, we're outdoors, we live in a fabulous area. So, you know, what better, you know, gym than an outdoor gym with nature?
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a couple of phrases that we use for Nordic walking. One is walk and talk, and the other one is turn your walk into a workout.
Mm.
And lots of my ladies, when they start, we'll do a walk, and at the end of it, we've done a minimum of 3 miles. And I was like, didn't it seem as if we did that at all? Time went really quickly because it is very social.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk more about Nordic walking then. I've heard of it. I wasn't completely au fait with it. And we were talking before the show. So perhaps you could explain what it is and kind of how it came about and its origins.
Nordic walking came about from a guy called Marco. And he was this Finnish coach for the Alpine cross-country ski team.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to find a full-body workout that would keep his ski team fit during the summer months. So hence came the Nordic walking. And people do often say to us, oh, look out, love, you've forgotten your skis. So we understand that. Not so often these days. Mm. So it's a full-body workout. Because you are using your upper body, when you normally go for a walk, people say to me, I go for a walk, I take the dog for a walk.
Mm.
But usually when you take your dog for a walk, if anything like mine, you don't really get a decent pace because they want to stop at every gatepost and tree that they come to.
Mm.
So I take my dogs for a walk, but then I Nordic walk. And what happens with Nordic walking is that it can burn between 20 and 40% more calories. It will work your whole body, working 90% of all your major muscle groups.
Mm-hmm.
So that's increasing the, bingo wings that we talk about. It strengthens your core. It's easy to learn. It's sociable and fun. We try to stop and have a cup of tea and a chat after each walk. It's suitable for everybody. And that's the great thing about Nordic walking. The other great thing is that it takes the strain off your shoulders, your neck and your knees and your back. So people who want to exercise but think, oh, you know, I'm maybe a bit too achy, you know, my joints aren't that good, Nordic walking is perfect because the Nordic walking poles are going to help take that strain from you. Mm. As I say, it's brilliant. It's a full body workout.
And I think it's important just to reiterate the point that it's suitable for everyone.
Yes.
You know, there are lots of exercises that generally are, for physical reasons, outside of the reach of older people, say 60, 70 plus. But Nordic walking is very inclusive for people of that age, isn't it?
It is indeed. We have a regular Tuesday walk where our clients are retired and they love it. But it's always that we have had a lady and a gentleman of 91 come to our Nordic walks.
Really?
So we've had a double amputee. We have people recovering from spinal operations, mm-hmm. People who had knee replacements. Mm-hmm. So it has that rehabilitation side to it, as well as just getting people who maybe have had high blood pressure, who just need to get out and exercise. But we also have clients at the other end. Nordic walking isn't just for that gentle well-being walk. Mm. It's also for our adventure walks, but also a lot of people who used to be marathon runners and who like that more dynamic type of exercise will also Nordic walk, because you can get, you'll find if you've got someone running or jogging, you can walk just as quickly with the Nordic walking poles. But these people who have been marathon runners and are super fit, what they've done is they've worn out their joints. Mm. So they will come to us to be able to continue exercising, but without damaging their joints any further. So it is
without
that
the
total spectrum that we have, yes. So it is suitable for everybody.
Excellent. And you brought some poles into the studio today, and I actually took a picture earlier of Nicole holding the poles, which you'll be able to see in the post-promotion that I do a bit later. But just explain a little bit about the different types of poles that you can get.
The poles that I use are the Leki Nordic walking poles, and the difference you'll find, a lot of people will say, oh yes, I've got Nordic walking poles. Actually, what they have are trekking poles.
Okay.
Because there'll be a pole with a loop.
Right.
With a Nordic walking pole, it actually has like a half glove. And you actually put your hand into the glove, and that is actually what takes your weight. And this is what will propel you forward and help you walk with an upright posture and also open your chest. So you're improving your oxygen supply. Okay. You find that people with trekking poles tend to hold the poles in front of them, bend over, and close the chest. So they're actually doing the opposite to what you would with Nordic walking. So the gloves are really important part of the equipment. Also, the Nordic walking poles have less of a vibration when you're walking with them. As trekking poles, you'll sometimes have that little bit of a bounce. Mm. The other poles that I brought in are called an urban pole. And these are what we use for people who maybe have been a little bit less steady on their feet, someone who's in rehabilitation. And these have like a little shelf as a handle, so they can push down on that, and that is going to give them the stability and the confidence. So again, maybe where people haven't been so mobile, want to get out, but are afraid of falling. And they have a much larger, thicker foot. Mm-hmm. So again, adding to the balance. Yeah. We had one gentleman who has these, and he used to take his dogs for a walk, but used to go in his mobility scooter. Since having these, he's able to walk with them. So he takes his dogs out for a walk now. And again, that's helped improve his health.
Brilliant. So good. So there's a lot of connections with physical health, but there are also connections with mental health, isn't there? And obviously we live in a society now where we're becoming far more aware of our own mental health and the mental health of those around us. And whilst there is still some stigma with mental health, certainly I think a lot of those walls are being broken down now. But there's a big connection between walking and improving mental health, isn't there?
Yes. There's been research done. Excuse me. One of my things is I have a bit of a cough now and again, so I do excuse that. Is that the research shows that walking on its own will help mental health, but also you've looked at forest bathing will help mental health, and also blue walking will help mental health. Well, we are so, so fortunate because we live on the coast, so we do the blue and walking by the sea. Mm-hmm. But also, although we're called coastal, we do go into the countryside. So we'll go into the forests and the woods, and we have different types of walks. So a lot of our clients, again, might say, oh, I was feeling a bit down, didn't know whether to come today. But no, when I do come, at the end of it, I feel so much better. Mm. And as I say, we do try and keep it social, so people will sit and have a chat and a coffee or a cup of tea and sometimes a slice of cake afterwards. We say we've earned it.
I think the social side is so important as well. When people go to the gym, it can be very isolating, can't it?
It can.
And I think the social side adds to the enjoyment. You know, you make new friends and new connections. I think it's great.
Definitely, definitely. You know, our clients that come along, you know, that cup of tea at the end of it is where they catch up and they natter and they form friends. And
it makes you want to come back. It makes you want to come back.
That's so. Right. Mm. You know, they car share, and it's really lovely. It's lovely to see these friendships develop.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So we're partway through 2019 now. What are your plans for the rest of the year and then into 2020?
This year's quite exciting because we started to introduce Tai Chi with our Nordic walking. Mm. And we're also looking at speed hiking. But this year, in fact, next week, we're starting our first alpine Nordic walking holiday, which we're taking three of our clients and three clients from another Nordic walking group to the chalet. And we'll be having 2 days sort of climbing gently in the mountains with a mountain guide, and 2 days going to the lake, one of those going to round Lake Geneva and to Evian, where in the afternoon, if they want, they can enjoy the thermal spa. So that's really exciting for us, and we're hoping to build that so we'll be able to offer four of those holidays a year. I also have, for this year, a fantastic walk leader, because we like to have someone walking at the front for those that want to go quicker, and someone at the back for those that, you know, take a little bit, want to take it an easier pace. And she has been an absolute star, and she's actually going to qualify as a Nordic walker instructor, but still continue to work with Coastal Nordic Walking, be part of our team. And we're looking at training another walk leader who will look at the speed hiking. So that's not for me. But, you know, lots of people want to do the Nordic walking at a speed uphill, and the Nordic poles are helping. We're having quite a few speed hikers or hill runners come to us for instruction on how to use the Nordic walking poles so that they can go off and do these, you know, 2 or 3 day events more effectively. So it's quite a bigger picture than people realise.
Exciting, exciting times ahead. So we mentioned earlier that Nordic walking is accessible for people of all ages. But who would be your ideal client for people listening today? Who are you particularly looking for?
I think anybody, anybody who wants to exercise, anyone who wants to improve their health. And with Nordic walking, it is suitable for absolutely anybody, as long as you have a stable medical condition. Mm-hmm. So if you've had problems and you are recovering, as long as your condition is stable, it's actually a really good form of exercise. In fact, this year, or rather last year, Nordic walking was actually listed as one of the NHS recommended exercises. And quite often we'll have people that come to us for the first time, and when I ask them how they heard about us, it's actually been through their doctor. So that's a great recommendation.
Very powerful.
But again, anybody who wants to exercise, people who want to take that speed hiking, they want to walk at a faster pace, it really is for everyone.
So why should people come to you in particular? I guess there's a few different businesses that offer that service, but why would people come to you in particular?
I think with Nordic Walking, we are a professional company. We belong to Nordic Walking UK. To become a Nordic Walking instructor, I have a YMCA physical trainer fitness qualification. I have a Nordic Walking advanced qualification. I also am qualified with Tai Chi for movement and well-being. We're fully insured. We have an outdoor first aid certificate. All our risks, our walks are risk assured, and we're fully insured. And as part of the Nordic Walking UK, once you've done your Learn to Nordic Walk, you get a passport which will allow you to walk with any group within the UK mm-hmm. and Europe if they're part of Nordic Walking UK. So you, if you think, right, I'm going on holiday, I'd like to continue walking, you just look to see which is the local route to your holiday destination, call them, log in, and you can walk with them. And it's also affordable. Mm-hmm. Our walks start from £4.80 a session. So if you pay in advance, it's £4.80 or it's £6 on the day.
Yeah.
So
brilliant.
Very affordable.
Brilliant. So if people do want to get in touch with you, what's your preferred method of contact?
We have email, mm-hmm. which is Nicole at Coastal, C-O-A-S-T-A-L, N-W, .co.uk, or the website is coastalnordicwalking.co.uk, or you can text or phone on 07939 087787. So if you have any questions, I'm happy to talk to you.
Brilliant. It's been a real pleasure to talk with you this morning. Thank you, Nicole.
Thank you.
And what I'll do is I'll put your contact details up on social media as well when I do post-promotion, so people can find you there as well. But thank you again. It's been very, very interesting. Thank you.
It's been lovely coming in.
Thank you.
Climbing up on South Street.
That was Peter Gabriel and Salisbury Hill. You're listening to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva. A quick reminder of the show's social media feeds. On Twitter, it's at Health Radio Show. On Facebook, search the Health Matters Radio Show and follow the show's Facebook page. You'll be able to listen again to this show and all previous shows on the iTunes podcast. Go to iTunes and search the Health Matters Radio Show and subscribe to the feed there. And as normal, you'll be able to listen to this show and all previous shows on the media page of my website as well, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. So for the next 5 or 6 minutes, we are going to cover the subject of alcohol. Now, on the previous show, we did cover alcohol in a bit of detail, but it was more about the dangers of excessive alcohol consumption. I mean, most people know that excessive anything is not good for you. Alcohol is particularly dangerous. It can cause lots of health issues. But for the next 5 minutes, I just want to talk about some tips to help you to control your alcohol consumption. It's all very well knowing the dangers, but knowing how to deal with them is of equal benefit as well. So as we know, there's lots of health issues surrounding excessive alcohol consumption. That can be health issues, diseases to ourselves, but it can also cause injuries, accidents, and more serious long-term health problems as well, which we did cover on the previous show. So here's some tips that you might want to consider that might be able to help you to moderate and get some control over your alcohol consumption. Now, the first of these is to be educated, okay? So learn and study what alcohol is and the effects it has on the body, okay? Because education and knowledge is power. Power is useless unless you can put it into practice. So don't just learn and then carry on with your existing habits. Learn, educate yourself, and try to put into practice better habits that perhaps if you are drinking a little bit too much, you can put into practice and reduce your consumption. So the guidelines recommend that we drink a maximum of two standard drinks per day and no more than four standard drinks on a single night. Okay, so a standard drink is about 1 unit of alcohol. So 1 unit of alcohol is a bottle or can of mid-strength beer, 100 millilitres of wine, or a 30ml shot of spirits. So a couple of those a day is the maximum recommended amount, because the body can process about 1 unit of alcohol per hour. Okay, but that will obviously depend on your age, your weight, your gender, your metabolism. But generally speaking, guidelines suggest that two standard drinks per day should be the maximum, and that's about 14 units a week when you look at it from that perspective. So for a man, off the top of my head, I think it's about 14 units maximum a week, and for a woman, I think it's about 10 or 12, so it's slightly less for women. By moderating your alcohol consumption, you do reduce the risk of things like heart disease, liver disease, and also mental health issues as well, and also certain types of cancer can be affected by excessive alcohol consumption. Also, count your drinks, because it's actually quite easy to drink more than you realise. So, as I mentioned, a standard drink is a 300ml bottle of beer, 100ml of wine, or 30ml shot of spirits. And actually, it's really easy to drink lots of those, particularly on a good night out. So, if you're going to go out, set yourself a limit, set yourself a drink limit, and stick to it. And one of the best ways, or the easiest ways, to avoid drinking too much is to avoid drinking in rounds, particularly if you're out with people who like to drink too much. Another good tip is to try to finish your drink before you start another, rather than just continually topping up your glass, because that way you can keep tabs on how much you're drinking. Another good way to control your alcohol consumption is to slow your intake with water and alcohol-free drinks. Okay, so as I mentioned, your body can only process one standard drink per hour, or 1 unit per hour. And the faster you drink, the higher your blood alcohol concentration will be. So to keep safe, you can slow down your drinking to one drink per hour by drinking non-alcoholic drinks between alcoholic drinks, drinking water before you go out. And also drinking water between alcoholic drinks as well is a really good way to cut down the amount of alcohol that you drink. Opting for low alcohol drinks if you prefer, and also sipping alcoholic drinks rather than gulping them down. But also eating before you go out, and also eating during drinking sessions can help as well, because alcohol enters your bloodstream through your stomach and through your small intestine. If your stomach's empty when you start drinking, it will get into your bloodstream quicker than if you've been eating. So it's a good idea to eat before you go out, and certainly eat before your first drink, and then continue eating nibbles while you're drinking. Obviously, you don't eat too much, particularly if you're trying to lose weight, but eating while you're drinking really does help. But in addition to that, you know, drinking plenty of water helps. Don't mix alcohol with sugary or energy drinks, because that can be quite a toxic combination. And also, if you're going to have nibbles, then avoid salty snacks, because they will make you more thirsty and they'll make you want to drink more. Another way is to avoid drinking games. So avoid shots, avoid those games where people just drink and drink and drink. They binge drink, because that can lead to over drinking. And actually, in some cases, in extreme cases, can lead to alcohol poisoning as well. And if you do enjoy these drinking games, it's a really good way to get very drunk quickly, which isn't a particularly good thing. If you're taking drugs or medication, then you need to be especially careful, because they can have a huge impact as well if you're consuming alcohol. Don't drink and drive. Well, that's an obvious one. There is no safe level of alcohol if you're driving. And the more drinks you put away, even one drink can impair your ability to drive. So don't drink and drive. So if you're going out drinking, then plan how you're going to get home. Maybe be the designated driver, because then obviously you're not going to drink. And if you need to, use public transport. And just say no. If you really don't want to drink too much, don't be pressured into drinking by your friends. But also, if you're pregnant, you're breastfeeding, if you're on medication, or if you're feeling a bit depressed, drinking alcohol can do a lot of damage in those situations. Particularly if you're pregnant, it's recommended that pregnant women don't drink at all. And actually, even if you're breastfeeding, try to feed your baby before you start drinking, and express milk for the baby to have while there's still no alcohol in your system, because if you do drink alcohol, it will go into your breast milk, and that can have an impact on the baby. So some really simple tips there, and most of those are actually common sense. Particularly if you do like drinking too much, you know, it becomes addictive. Alcohol is very addictive, and there are some serious long-term complications to alcohol addiction. And there are some really simple tips there that can help you to get some control over your consumption. So that's enough for this week's show. We have run out of time. I'd like to thank Nicole once more for coming on the show.
Thank you.
It's been great to have you on the show, Nicole. If you'd like to come on the show like Nicole has done today, and talk about what you do and how you got into doing what you do and how you can help people, then please contact me via my website or via social media, and we'll see about having you on the show as a guest. And if you have any questions in the meantime, please feel free to drop me a line via my website or via Twitter, and I'll be in contact from there. So after the last song, we have the Channel Radio News and Weather. But until the same time next week, I wish you a great week ahead. Stay happy, stay healthy, and I will catch you again next Monday.
The heart is a blue. There's no room, no space to